my biochemists, my Bunsen burners, my beakers, my cells, my chemicals, my chemistries, my elements, my fossils, my funnels, my genetics, my geologists, my scientific methods, my astrophysicists, my thermometers, my biologists, my beakers, I already said, I'll say it again, my magnets, my minerals, my molecules, my microscopes, my mass, my matter, my organisms, my petri dishes, masses, my minerals, my quantum mechanics, my telescopes, my tissues, my weather, my zoologists, my scientists, my peeps. Did you like this fucking super weird, super stony intro? It was science themed, if you couldn't guess. It was science themed because I'm in the middle of filming Stone Science Season 2. That's right, we're doing Stone Science Season 2 at Gas Digital. Kim Congdon and I have partnered with Gas Digital and Smoked Honey to bring you guys Season 2 of Stone Science. And Kim Congdon flew into Los Angeles and we filmed all day. I'm a little bit delirious, but nevertheless, I am here to record you a hot intro, a hot science intro. And yeah, I think you guys are really going to enjoy this week's episode. But before we get into this week's episode, I just want to thank Smoked Honey for hooking me up with the best, and by the best I mean the best, quality distillate vape cartridges on the market right now. They have brand new packaging. It looks so, so pretty. It makes a great gift. It's a great pen. The hardware is just really smooth and sleek looking, and there's no buttons you have to push. There's nothing weird like that. And yeah, I feel so, so lucky to have them sponsor this podcast. And right now I am smoking some Sour Tangy. That's how I'm getting through, breaking through to the other side to bring you a hot, hot, electric episode of Shank. You guys, I think you're going to love this week's episode. It's with Eleanor Kerrigan. Eleanor Kerrigan is a comedian. She's been at the Comedy Store for so many years, and she's so much fun to be around. And I really, really think you guys are going to enjoy this week's episode. Yeah, but before we do that, please go check out smokedhoneyca.com. Locate where you can find Smoked Honey pens near you. Follow them, too, online at Smoked Honey. Let them know you're enjoying the show. And, yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who came out to San Francisco. I was in San Francisco for Kill Tony Mania 2018. That's right, I was at Kill Tony Mania 2018. I drove up in a 15-person van. It sat 15 passengers. Tony drove. We drove to and from in one day. I was able to be on the panel. It was super fun to get to meet everyone and see all different types of Kill Tony fans and young comics. It was great. But yeah, I just got back from San Francisco and I've been recording Stone Science, so I'm a little bit delirious, but I'm here nonetheless. If you guys are in Los Angeles, please come out to the Comedy Store tonight. I will be at the Comedy Store live tonight, 10:30 for the Gas Digital show. I think it's Legion of Skanks, something like that. It's happening in the Belly Room tonight, 10:30, Comedy Store. Please come out if you can. Support live comedy. I'll also be at the Ice House on Friday. That's right, that's this Friday. And the date on this Friday is, I'll tell you right now, hang on one second, the 19th. I will be at the Ice House on the 19th at 10 o'clock for the Death Squad show. And then again, I will be at the Comedy Store on Sunday, October 21st at 7:30 in the Belly Room. So yeah, check me out this week, either tonight, Belly Room, Comedy Store, 10:30, or Sunday, Belly Room, Comedy Store, 7:30, or Ice House on Friday for the Death Squad show. All right, guys, yeah, this week's episode is super great. I think you're gonna enjoy it. I might go ahead and drop another episode in just a day or so. just keep an eye out for that. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please, please leave a review. It makes a huge difference. And I really, really appreciate it. It's always great to hear from you and to know that I'm not just pushing out content into the ether and that someone is receiving it on the other side. So, and you know, when you leave reviews, it helps people find out about the show. We grow the show. The more we grow the show, the more content I can give you. What I'm saying is, like, it's a nonstop party. Get involved. Get involved in the podcast. If you have fashion questions, email me. I love hearing from you. shenk.pod@gmail.com. And you can always tweet me at Princess Shenk. And you can follow me on Instagram and all of that for show dates. All right, guys. I hope you enjoy this week's episode with Eleanor Kerrigan. Let's get into it, shall we? Thank you.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Shenk. I'm your host, Sarah Weinshank, and today's guest is Eleanor Kerrigan.
Yay!
Thank you so much for coming on. You're one of my favorite people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
You're one of my favorite people.
I love you. You're, like, always,
rushing.
You're just you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, no, I get it. It's always like, I feel like I'm always rushing to a fucking podcast.
Something or rushing to something. It's just traffic.
It's
triples after two. You're like, what? What happened? I was at a meeting on the other side and I couldn't get back. So I was like, God damn it. Rushing. I'm sorry. Silver Lake, the other side. Anything far from me is the other
side.
It's
too much.
But if I have to go to the valley, forget it.
Yeah, it's aggressive. Also, like, I didn't realize, like, I'm just now understanding that podcasting is now part of being a comedian. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah. What do you mean, just realizing?
I mean, I've been realizing it, but I'm like, oh, yeah, this is, like, part of my job.
Sure. It's part of, yeah.
Everyone's job. Too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, because you host the Comedy Store podcast.
Comedy Store podcast with the great Rick Ingram, and then I have to do other people's to promote my podcast. It's, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like we're all rubbing
podcasting.
One out for each other.
Right, that's what it is.
It's like a big cesspool
of podcasters.
Yeah, they're like, oh, have you ever done blah blah blah? I'm like, no, they never did mine either. Okay, so no.
Yeah,
what a,
yeah.
A competition, man.
Yeah.
We're all just trying to get content out there so that these people buy tickets to our live shows.
Yeah.
To see what we're really made of. Right.
Yeah that's what I think too.
Yeah.
You're like, come on, come see what else I can do.
Yeah, I take my clothes off during my act, so these people are missing out if they don't.
You are one of my favorite comedians to watch because you just don't give a fuck.
I like that you say that because I wish I didn't even more. Like, sometimes I'll watch, like, Bill Burr and I'll be like, man, that freedom.
I know. He can say fucking anything and he's so smart that it just, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he can dig himself in a hole and dig himself out. It's the neatest thing to see.
Yeah. And seeing him live is fucking, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like one of those comedians you want to watch.
So I had a friend that was like, nah, I already watched their special. Not Bill, somebody else. And I was like, no, it's not the same.
It's not.
Cool that you watch the special, but that's something they put out there that you can always have of
right.
their body of work. But it doesn't ever translate properly. Some of them are great, truly, but some are so much better live. Like, Theo Vaughn is one of my favorites to watch right
Theo
now.
Theo Vaughn's amazing.
He's so good. And in his special, I felt like it didn't translate. Not, I think he's doing a new one, but the first one he did,
yeah.
It didn't translate as well, even though I was dying laughing.
I was dying laughing,
I've
too, but
it.
I understand what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's so much more special to watch him live.
Yeah.
Because you never know. You know, a little something will happen. Somebody says something, an extra laugh. He reacts to everything. So it's great.
Yeah, he's so present.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been doing stand-up for how long?
11 years.
11 years.
A little over 11 now. February was 11.
What led you to stand-up?
Are you going to say, show me where they touched you on
yeah.
the doll?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
Basically,
that's what
everywhere.
I'm asking.
No.
Okay. I got my answer.
No, I was a waitress here for 12 years.
Okay.
And then, but I don't want to be a comic. Like, I just came here to be an actress. I wanted to replace Meryl Streep, and then they wouldn't let me. So I got pissed. And
what do you mean? You just got pissed by
the whole process.
I'm just kidding.
Like, I would go.
The whole process.
You go audition and just a lot of rejection.
That's a lot.
True.
It's like too much.
It is too much. And then, like, I would go, I still wasn't getting the good auditions. You know how that changes? Do you ever feel that transition where you're like, whoa, these are the better auditions?
I'm auditioning. You're still in the shitty ones? I'm just like, okay, what do you want me to do? Yeah. AT&T? You want me to make this funny? I can't, but thanks for thinking of me.
You want me to giggle? Okay.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like so bizarre.
It's like so much. It's humiliating.
But commercials is like...
extra.
Yeah.
Bad.
Means nothing.
It means nothing, but...
It's rent money, if you can get them.
It's rent money, and I don't care about it until then I get a call back, and I'm like, fuck. Yeah. I don't even know how I got this call back. I don't even know what I did the first time, because I didn't think I was going to get to this place.
Yeah, how am I going to redo whatever they liked?
Yeah. I was like, that was an authentic moment. I can't recreate that again, like, now that I know that I might make money. No.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Now
you're scaring me. Yeah.
Right. And, like, I don't know. What's the worst audition you've ever had?
Oh, God, there's been so many bad ones. But I will say that I auditioned for a wrestler.
Okay.
But I thought it was like, I don't know what
the
I
movie?
Thought.
Is that a movie?
No. The Wrestler was a great movie, but no, that's not the,
okay.
It was the Wow Women of Wrestling when I used to wrestle.
Okay.
And so I went, and it was in like a hotel, you know, lobby kind of thing. It's like,
right.
Oh, we're in this suite A. And they're like, ugh.
Yeah, this is already
this
weird.
Is creepy.
Yeah.
But my friends worked for the company, and she was like, you'll be great. It'll be funny. Just do a funny character. Just do a character.
Right.
And I wasn't a comic at the time. So my character, what are you talking about? So all I could think of was like the, you know, wrestlers I grew up with. Grew up like liking. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna do something stupid like that. And we practiced all night in the kitchen of the Comedy Store.
No.
Yeah, like Rogan was there, Freddie Soto, the bartenders, and like
what?
I went in my car. I think there was a couple other waitresses hanging out, just like I was making them laugh because I was always such an asshole.
Yeah.
So I went in my car, and I have a baseball bat naturally.
And of course. I'm not surprised. Okay.
But I came back in and they were like, all right, go out and come in doing a character. So they didn't know I was going to go to my car.
Okay.
And get the bat. So I got the bat and then I came in the kitchen and I'm like, I just started hitting things and yelling like a wrestler would, like, ah! And they're dying. They're like, you have to do that. So now I'm like, I can't. They're like, do it. And I'm like, they're going to hate me. I'm going to get arrested.
Right.
So I went to the audition, and it's in Suite A. I'm carrying a bat.
No.
I look like a maniac.
Are you in, like, a wrestling outfit?
No.
Okay.
I was probably in, like, jeans and a t-shirt.
Okay.
Which is weird, because when they...
Yeah, because then just a bat, just like your average
it's just
lady,
like, what?
Just with a bat. Yeah.
Is she trying out for a softball team?
Right.
Like, just weird, whatever. So I went in... And I just started yelling and hitting things. And I remember like hitting the desk and there was a woman in there and she was like, whoa.
No.
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like,
yeah, you're like trying not to break character.
So I was like, oh, shit. You know, back
That's
to my
amazing.
Character. But it was so dumb. And then they told me, they called me and told me I got the gig pretty quick.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, that's weird. So I called my mom and I was like, Mom, don't get mad, but I'm going to take this job. It's a wrestling show. Don't get mad. Like I thought it was more acting. I didn't know how bad it was going to be.
Right.
It's almost like Glow when she goes to the audition and she's thinking, all right, you can make money. But she's also thinking, I'm an actress. I'm just going to do a character and forgets the rest of it. Like, oh, they're going to beat me up and I got to beat them up or whatever.
Right.
We're going to be getting our asses kicked.
Right.
Like all that went out of my mind. And I was just like, should I take this? It's a job. So I called my mom to like waive her. But by the time I called my mom, I was like, you know what? I need the money. I got to get out of the Comedy Store because I was waiting tables here for so long. And, I was like, I need something. So I was like, I'm doing it. And I called my mom. And I was just telling her I'm taking it. And she was like, oh, I'm so excited. And I'm
like, she was all excited.
Really? And because I'm such a tomboy, she always wanted me to be girly.
Yeah.
So I was like, what do you mean you're so excited? And she's like, and I go, you know what? I'm going to call you when I get home. because this was like 2000, 99, 2000. So it was a cell phone, how right. bad the reception was. I'm like, this bitch ain't
maybe she
me.
Hasn't processed this yet.
She's just not thinking.
Right.
So I get home and I call from a landline. You'll Google it. You'll figure it
no,
out.
No, I know. I know what a fucking landline is.
Do you still
is.
Have a landline at
no,
home?
No, I don't have one.
No, your parents.
Yeah, my parents.
They do?
Yeah.
So does my mom. So I was like, I'll just call her from a... And at the time, I still had a landline. So in my apartment. So I was like, I'll call her. I call her back. My sister answers. And she's like, yo, you're going to be on West Wing?
What? On West Wing?
She really thought I was going to be on West Wing. She told everybody. She called the whole family to tell
she
them.
She heard it wrong. Wrestling she West Wing. Did. So no.
For a long time, I would say, I'm a wrestler, so my mom can understand the difference between wrestling and West Wing.
That's hilarious. What? So did she end up? Was she supportive?
At first, she was furious. She was like, I don't believe it. All I wanted was a little girl. I thought you were going to be in the White House. You know,
in
the
White
West
House?
Wing.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You know, because there was like brilliant act Martin yeah. Sheen and stuff. I'm like, Mom, no, I'm not going to be with Martin Sheen. I'm going to have a woman with a mullet and a sleeper hold. So that's... just get used to it.
So what was that like?
That was amazing because technically, I really didn't want it. But I wanted something to get me out of my funk. I had left my first ex-fiance. I have a few of those. But the first one was yeah. the hardest blow. And it took me a long time to like kind of get over him and back into the world.
Yeah. And how long were you together?
Like 4 years. But we were gonna get married. Like it was a whole... I saw our kids. You know how that happened? Like,
yeah.
That kind of love, whatever. Yeah. I think he was the first... technically real heartbreak.
Yeah.
And he shattered it. Like, I was like, oh boy. But the first guy who really broke my heart was the true love of my life, but we never really dated. You know, it was one of those
really?
From afar.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have like a weird connection?
No, but
you just had a
heavy crush and we made out like once, but I was young, really young, but he was like... He was like an unattainable goal.
Yeah.
You know, you're
yeah,
like,
I know
I'll
those.
Never
yeah.
get an Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say the same. I'll never get Johnny. Damn
That's
it.
Amazing.
And well, then when he went to jail, I would write him.
No.
Yeah. Well,
we're
going to say that my taste in men, amazing.
Amazing.
And so when he went to prison, I would write to him.
Uh-huh.
And then I moved in with my first ex-fiance.
Okay.
And
were you still writing to the
yeah,
prisoner?
He would write back to me.
Okay.
Because, you know, he was in there for a while. And so he was like, you know, any chance he get to write something down, he took it.
Right.
So my ex, we moved in together. I had not forgotten, but didn't think about getting a letter. And I had just changed my address to his. And he's like, you have a letter from prison?
No. No.
And I was like, give me that.
No.
How dare you?
You have a letter from
prison?
Peek
into my privacy.
That's hilarious. Well, so, okay, so then.
So with the wrestling, it was just like, it whipped my ass into shape. Like as a kid, I was I was athletic, but not that. Not professionally athletic. You know what
right.
I mean? Like now
right.
I'm getting paid. I got to flip around. We're basically trained professional stunt people.
Right.
That's what wrestlers are,
right.
You know, because you're doing all kinds of falls. You could fall off a ladder and not get hurt.
That's like so much work.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like stunts.
I did not expect that much work. That's what I'm saying. I thought it was going to be like, oh, I swing the bat around and.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, no. You know, we had to learn a lot.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. I had a gum commercial audition last week, and they asked me if I could do stunts. And I'm like, no. Also,
what kind of stunts with
caffeine gum? Like, you take the gum, and you're like, you jolt across the room. I'm like, no. Do I look like I have stunt experience? You know what I mean? Wait, so what?
Oh, I wish I got that audition.
Oh,
I would have flipped around.
Yeah, it would have been amazing.
I just don't like gum.
That would have been amazing.
But yeah, I could literally fall down a flight of steps. Fake
really?
It. Mm-hmm. Because you learn. I mean, I haven't done it in a long time. And I still
it sounds
do.
It's scary.
It is. I still do commentary for the WOW Women of Wrestling Girls because I
awesome.
Stay close with all of them. And the owner, David, is a very good friend of mine. David McLean started glow originally in the early 80s.
That's so crazy.
He was a young man, like this was his thing, and he was going to, you know, rival McMahon and start do the whole, we have all women.
Yeah.
But the women he had for glow, they weren't trained properly. So a lot of them got hurt really bad, really fast. So when he started filming, it was like, who can't do the stunt or who can't fall because they broke this and they broke that. So with us, he was like, he brought in professional, like, overly severely trained us. Like,
so like what would a day, like how long did you have to train for?
We were at the Forum in Englewood. And pretty much five days a week for about 3 or 4 hours a day, we trained. And then we started filming. And even when we were filming to get ready for a match, we still had to do the training.
That's so crazy.
I know it. And I used to wrestle in jeans.
You did?
That's how they, I was Easy Rider. We were biker chicks.
Oh my God.
Harley's Angels.
What? That's amazing. So how did you pick your name?
I didn't. They did. They were like, oh, she looks like white trash.
Like, put her in jeans, call her Easy Rider.
Well, plus my audition. I was in jeans and a t-shirt.
Well, so then that helped get you out of your funk? Did you do the bat thing?
In the audition, yes. But on the thing, our vignette, like, which was everyone's favorite, I would play pool. Like, I had a pool cue.
No.
And then I would put the pool cue and I would be flirting with a guy. And then I'd hit him with my pool cue and it would break all over him. Or I broke the ball.
What? Can you find this online?
Oh, yeah. All of it's online.
I gotta find this.
Wow, Women of Wrestling. Wow. I'm Easy Rider. Harley's Angels. Look it up. We were a tag team. It was
How
great.
How long did you do it for?
We only lasted a year. It was 2 seasons, I believe. But it's because they did a pay-per-view.
Okay.
Not thinking about the views or the pays.
Right.
So it didn't do well. So it kind of plummeted.
Okay.
And then the girls that trained us were really phenomenal. Selena Majors and Peggy Fowler is her real name. But they were Thug and Selena. Were their stage names. I can't think of Selena's name now, but I do commentary for them.
Uh-huh.
And at the Belasco Theater downtown on October 10th and 11th, we will be doing a live show.
What?
And I'll be doing the commentary. So if you want to come,
yes,
I will get you on the list.
October 10th and 11th, yes.
At the Belasco Theater downtown.
Wait, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so fun. So then after that, you were like, I want to do stand-up?
No. So then after that, I got engaged again.
Different dude.
And this one didn't hurt me as much. We're still really good friends.
Okay.
So this was the Andrew Dice Clay period.
Okay.
So we started dating, and then I wasn't doing stand-up, but my best friend passed away about 4 years into Andrew and I dating. And I couldn't deal. He was a comic, too. His name was Freddie Soto. And
I've seen some of his stand-up. Freddie. Really funny. Yeah.
Freddie, we worked together. Like, he was a door guy. I was a waitress forever. So
yeah,
it was like
so
they were
like
your first
family.
Friends.
Yeah.
And we always stayed tight. And even when he got married and had a kid, like, I was in the wedding. You know, we were super tight. And when he passed away, it was weird. It was just like everything just changed. I couldn't see anything right.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was like, what am I doing in this relationship? Nothing against Andrew. Just so I sabotaged that just because I wanted to. I just wanted to hurt more, I guess.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, let's see if this hurts.
You're like, fuck it. I just want to feel something.
See if I can't fuck up everything.
Yeah.
And I did, but Andrew saw what I was doing.
Right.
And he was allowing it, but at the same time not standing for it. But we never, like, hated each other. It wasn't, like, animosity
right.
that built between us. That's why we could be such good friends, because some people break up and they can't be friends. And I understand that, because you hold a lot of things in and it's animosity builds. And
right.
then you just can't look at each other. Like, me and my first ex were not friends because I couldn't look at him because he broke my... He
right.
broke me.
Right.
So it was different. But Andrew didn't. I kind of fucked it up. You know?
Right. You sabotaged it.
And then I didn't kill him. And then
right.
for a year, we were on and off, on and off, on and off. You know what I mean? And then it was just like, you know, it
yeah.
was cool. And we would like pound it and walk away.
That's amazing.
So it was, we were like
amicably split up.
Say it that way with the
bleep. It doesn't just roll off one's tongue.
Amicably.
I can't.
Yeah, that's bad.
That is bad, right?
But
amicably. Yeah.
Good. That was good.
I don't want to say it again.
I never want to say
right?
it again.
Right? Fuck that word. Like, we got it.
But yeah, so when, and then 30 days later, or 20 days later, my grandma passed away the same month. So it was just a weird
like
time.
A lot of loss at
a lot
once.
Of, yeah. A lot of like, what are you doing with your life? What's going on here? Who are these people?
Yeah.
You're a housewife and you don't even have children.
Like an existential
crisis. I had his kids. Yeah. I was doing everything for him. I was living for him. Not in a bad way. That's just what I was doing.
Right.
And then we split up. And when I worked here, everyone would say, you should be doing stand-up, because I would always hold court in the kitchen. Or if a comic messed with a waitress or a comic messed with somebody, I would, especially a woman,
kill them.
I would lose it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a period here where there was a lot of male comics that were very nasty to not only female comics, but the waitresses. And they were sleeping around. And so when they would go on stage and they would kind of like, yeah, as long as Mitzi wasn't around, to be honest.
Yeah.
If they would mess with the waitress, then I would school them from the audience.
You would?
And shut them down.
What would you say?
Whatever. I can only think of one person, but I can't remember exactly how I shut him down, but yeah. I ripped him to shreds.
Yeah.
And he was furious.
No.
Furious. And he I wouldn't fight with her if I were you.
That's amazing.
That's an impression of him. And so...
okay.
And so... we would, you know, then they just started like gaining respect / okay, I'm not going to act like a dick anymore.
Right.
And I mean, even like just shooting the shit, having fun too. Yeah. Like it wasn't always mean, but sometimes they were mean to my staff. So I couldn't stand for that.
Well, yeah.
And especially if I had a waitress that was a comic and they wouldn't let her have stage time. Mm-mm. I didn't go for that. Like,
I love that.
We're all here for the same reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe I wasn't a comic at that point, but these young girls were, and Mitzi didn't really like waitress comics.
Oh, really? Should I keep it separate?
Yeah, because a lot of people thought, oh, she just don't like women. That's not what it was. A waitress is the bread and butter. Waitress, waiter. Now we have men, more men. We only had one before. Any of this ever happened?
Yeah.
Mitzi did have a guy named Tony that used to work with us, and he was great, but he would talk too much at the table, so she fought with him. I mean,
oh,
so she fired him.
He was loud.
Yeah, he was like flamboyantly gay, and he'd be like, hello. You know, and like, there's a show going on.
Yeah.
But she loved him, but she was like, no, he can't be in the showroom. But the waitresses and waiters at a comedy club are the bread and butter.
It's true. It makes such a big difference.
Absolutely. And if you're worried about getting on stage and not selling drinks for the club loses money. So they can't, it doesn't make sense to have a door guy. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Right.
Usually a club has its own security. Unfortunately, for a long time, we had the security and the door guy were the same. So
right.
Sometimes you'd have to get thrown out by Matt Egger, and that'd be hilarious to everyone.
Mean, yeah.
Or Rick Ingram, which is also hilarious.
This is not threatening.
No.
Yeah.
You're like,
okay.
I'm not really afraid of him.
Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah. No, it's so.
But yeah, it's true. So Mitzi didn't want them focusing. And I did have a few waitresses that were comics. So I was like, look, it has to be your night off. Like, you have to understand, I can't take you off the floor and put you on the stick. That's no go. She's not going to stand for that. You should be serving. Most comedy clubs comp people in. You know, you give away tickets. So your bread and butter is the drinks and the food.
Yeah.
So you can't fuck with that in any way, shape, or form.
That makes sense. Well, like, as a kid, were you into, like, theater or acting stuff or, like, performance?
Not until I was, I'd say, like... 18, but I was always a goof.
Okay.
Like, I would do impressions of people from the neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah. Or like, I used to chain smoke, which is why doing the wrestling really whipped me into shape, like got me to quit smoking, everything. But I was smoking since I'm 9 years old.
No.
Yeah.
Back east.
Yeah.
Where again?
South Philly, South Philadelphia. Philly. Yeah.
Smoking at nine?
Nine. Yeah, we were, I came, anyway, so we got into smoking. It was weird.
My nine-year-old? That's amazing.
A nine-year-old back then was like a 15-year-old today.
That makes sense.
Because today they're, so like a nine-year-old is like a two-year-old. It went the other way. Like,
yeah.
We were, my parents were already split up for a couple years at that point. My mom had a full-time job. We were just latchkey kids. We were running in the streets.
Yeah.
We didn't know. People were like going home for dinner. We're like, why? What's there?
You're like
Kerrigans
dinner,
were always still out.
Yeah.
They're like, why? When did the Kerrigans go home for dinner? Like, my mom took a nap after her day job, so we got to wait for her to get up. We'll eat later.
That's so crazy. So you guys would, like, make your own dinner and stuff?
Pretty much. And my mom always would say, oh, honey, just tell your friends, we're rich. We eat late. Rich people eat late.
That's hilarious.
So I was like, all right.
I feel like that's true.
But I felt bad because the poor woman was a single mom of 10, and my dad wasn't paying child support. So it was just like, she had to get a real job from, you know, 9 to 5. And sometimes she would just come home and be like, I can't. Like, I was up all night doing your homework, his this, her that.
How many kids?
Clean, 10.
10 fucking kids?
10 fucking kids and not a nickel from my father.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, no. Yeah, have a cigarette.
So what she would
give
do
one
was,
to your brother. Give one to me.
Do we have any crack? You guys get crack? But she would send us out in the... she would send us out like to be with my dad. Like my dad didn't get away with not seeing us or not being around. You know what I'm saying? Like he owned a typewriter store. I stuttered on that because
a typewriter store.
I didn't want you to get weirded out.
No, yeah. I thought that this was like super interesting because you had like a jacket from it. Maybe.
Oh yeah. My dad's jacket. Yeah. It's like 60 years old. I think
it's
it was his
cool looking.
Grandfather's. Yeah. Cause he's 82 and my grandfather had a lucrative typewriter store, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, 80 years ago, it was
a fucking
moneymaker.
Yeah.
And then, but we're so crazy, stupid Irish. I say crazy, stupid because Irish people are good at things, but we're not good at like a lot of other things. Like my grandfather made tools specifically to fix typewriters.
Really?
Right? But never marketed them. But then all these huge corporations would come to him to fix the machines because he had such detailed tools that he made, handmade, and never marketed them. I'm like, dude, we could have had some shit.
Yeah.
You know, like
a typewriter
maybe
money.
Maybe an extra meal. Who knows? Maybe a meal.
Bitch. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know how many times we couldn't go to things because there was no money? Like school trips, things like that. It was like, no, we'll just keep them home, you know, because we couldn't do it. So.
Yeah, I feel like that makes you stronger in life.
Does it? Or angry,
I don't know.
Angrier. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I mean.
But it definitely made us like learn our ways. And so I forget what I was talking about with the cigarettes. But
the typewriter store?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty cool, though.
Typewriter store is pretty cool. And he did close it about, it's been about 6 years, 7 years now.
That's it?
Yeah,
it was open for that long?
I know. It was like prying it out of his hands. Like
it was like
cold,
a specialty?
Dead hands.
Yeah. Like,
no, he just didn't want to give it up because it was like a treehouse for him and all his old war buddies. They used to sit around and talk about the different wars they were in. So when I would come home to visit from L.A., even though I wasn't a comic, I would go, when I started doing stand-up, I would go all the time. But when even before then, I would go just listen to these idiots tell stories. I mean,
that's
there was
amazing.
There was like, I used to do a bit about a man, Mr. Richardson. He used to, look at this wound. And I think there were musket wounds. I'm like, I don't want to see that. Like,
yeah.
And he was like in his late 90s, like, look at this. And
ew.
I'm like, ooh.
A musket wound? That's amazing.
I don't know if it was really a musket, but he was that old
funny.
That I was just like, no.
Yeah, like, I don't want to see your scar. Your
but he would always
scar.
Show me, look at this. You know, and I'm like, ew.
Yeah, that's amazing. So when did you first do stand-up?
So right after Freddie and after I ruined my relationship with Andrew, I started doing like a one-woman show.
Okay.
Kind of deal. And I was like, all right, I'll just do this. It's a one person.
Where'd you do that?
At first I did it at the, what's that theater in Santa Monica, the West Side? The Eclectic maybe? Is that right?
On Santa Monica Boulevard?
It's in the alley. It's on the promenade.
Oh yeah, the West Side.
Is
right?
It, yeah, but is it called the Eclectic or the something?
I thought it was called the West Side Comedy Theater.
It could be called the West Side, though. I don't know. So Adam Barnhart, a comic here, and Cynthia Levin were doing their half-hour one-person shows.
Okay.
And I was like, all right. And they said, you want to open? And I was like, okay. And they were like, you can practice, like 10 minutes, just tell two stories, pick two stories, whatever it is. And so I did it. And a lot of the waitresses were there, like Lee and Jen, like the girls that are still here now, came to support Adam and Cynthia. And Jenny might have even been there. I'm not sure. But they were like, oh, my God. This was nearly 11 years ago.
That's crazy. Okay.
In February. And they were like, oh, my God, you got to do this. And I'm like, I'm trying. They're like, no, you got to do this all the time. And so Adam let me come to his Sunday in the belly room.
Yeah.
And then I called Mitzi and I said, look, I'm going to work this one person show. Oh, that's terrific, honey. Great.
That's amazing.
Perfect.
That's amazing.
And I was like, okay. And then I called Andrew and I was like, look, I'm not stalking. I'm not being creepy, but I'm going to do this. So he brought his girlfriend to my first show. And it was a girl I hooked him up with. So we were close. I was like, thank God you handle this.
Yeah. No,
so
I get that.
We go to the, he came to my show and I was kind of nervous, but you know how you go in the beginning of doing stand up, you kind of have these good sets and they're like, oh,
It's trickery. It is. It's like beginner's luck.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, that wasn't bad. I'm going to keep doing this. I can do this.
And so Andrew came and he saw me and he said, he goes, yo, what do you have to come on the road with me. And I go, no, this is a one woman show. He goes, no, it's stand up, stupid. You're doing stand up. I know I'm stupid as me, but
that's hilarious.
From Brooklyn, that's how he talks.
No, I know, but coming from him, it's like
that's
not
a term of endearment.
Yeah,
yeah. So he's like, "You're doing stand up, stupid," and I'm like, "No, it's you do stand up. Don Myrera does stand up. Bill Burr, Judy Gold, those are Sarah Silverman. Those are stand ups. I'm a jackass. I'm not doing this." And he's like, "We had a show on VH1 at the time, so he was like, come." Do the road. And I went from 8 people in the belly room to 2,500 at the Wells Fargo Center.
That's
in
so
Santa Rosa,
crazy.
California, I think. It was insane.
That's so crazy.
And I did well in California. But then we flew to New York and the show got canceled on the flight over. And I think it was just so weird. And then I did a theater in the round. It's called the Westbury Music Theater. I'll never forget it.
Why?
I was on stage. I looked real cute. I was wearing short shorts, a cute little shirt, little half top bra, little half bra.
Uh huh. You know? Little half bra.
Look how cute I look.
Oh, yeah.
Got sexy. Because Andrew was like, you got to go out there. Show them you're sexy. Show them your tough attitude.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think sexy and tough attitude.
Go hand in
with
hand.
With my camel toe out is going to be good. And then I went and I went out. And as soon as I said I'm from Philadelphia, they were like, boo. And
no.
I was like, oh, my God. And they're booing and I'm trying to get through. And I'm sweating so bad that the half bra slid down.
No.
So it looks like I have tumors on my belly.
No.
I'm like, oh, my God. I'm trying to hold that up.
No.
And the boos are getting louder.
No.
No matter what I say.
No.
And I'm trying and I'm shivering. And I see my sister who drove 2.5 hours from South Philly to support me.
Yeah.
And I look at her. We look exactly alike, but we're 10 years apart. And I look at her and she puts her hands in the air looking at me like, what do you want to do? Want to fight this whole fucking room? I'll fight everybody in here.
No,
I'll start in this section.
Amazing.
That's how she looked. Like, I'll fight everybody.
That's amazing.
It was the best. But it was awful and the best thing that could ever happen because that beginner's luck got smacked out of me.
And then it pushes you to like.
And then I was like, this will never happen again. And then it happened the next night in Jersey.
No. Did you get booed again?
Yeah.
No, but your bra didn't fall.
No, I didn't wear that stupid outfit
that's
ever
how I
again.
I feel about strapless bras.
Yeah, just never wear them on stage.
Yes.
If you're
going to
perspire.
Bras, they don't really work.
I didn't even know I sweat.
Oh, I know I sweat.
I don't sweat.
Really?
Listen, I'm Irish. We
I'm
don't
like
do
a
that.
I'm a sweaty bitch, I think.
No, like that commercial where they're like, we don't move till this kid sweats. I don't know what it's for. I'm sure it's deodorant.
Yeah.
That's me. I could have nothing on. No
really?
Sweat. For years. Now I sweat. But
so
it's
weird.
Stress
induced.
Perspiring.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Perspiring. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're nailing
so
it.
It's from stress. And sometimes it tends to, you know, it'll get weird spots where you're like, what?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's getting worse with age. I never had it as a...
I'm a sweater. Also, though, Josh Wolf is a sweater.
Oh, yeah.
Came on
yeah.
here. He said that he had to put like pads.
Yep.
I didn't know about this.
Mark Ellis is a big sweater, too.
I'm like, should I start putting pads in my shirts?
Do you?
I do. I'm a sweater.
Heavy, but.
I mean, honestly, like if you looked at right now at my fucking armpit, like it's yellow. But I don't know if that's necessarily from my sweat or like the deodorant or like the combination.
No, that's a stress sweat makes it yellow. Like
really?
Because you notice like in your workout clothes, so you're pushing it further, or if it's something you wear on stage a lot.
A chipped nail. My armpits are yellow because
this is disgusting.
My stress sweat. You know?
Those sleeves are giving me severe anxiety.
My sleeves.
I love the outfit, but that looks like a Catholic schoolgirl. Like,
see, that's what I like about it.
Did you?
I went to Catholic school.
For 12 years?
Yeah, 12 years. Kindergarten through 12th grade.
All-girl Catholic high school?
Just all-girl Catholic high school, but then co-ed K through 8th.
Yeah, we did the same.
I have PTSD from it.
It's awful. I don't know how you can wear those. That sleeve.
I feel like it's nostalgic.
And then it's giving me anxiety because it's not necessarily ironed with a crease.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was something the nuns would go nuts over.
Yeah, we would have to have our skirts measured. That wasn't
totally.
That long ago.
Yeah, and then that's weird because for us, I didn't care, but my older sister was kind of hoary, so she would sew it up. Like, they measured it, they fitted it to the top of her knee, and then she had what is it called? Like a cheat. She would just, when she left, flip it up.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It would hook on. It wasn't sewn. It would just hook.
That's
like, so
genius.
She could, yeah. She's a seamstress. Like, she knows how to make costumes and everything.
Yeah, mine was, I would roll mine up and then I would have.
We used to tuck them in our underwear.
Yeah, like real slutty. I would roll it up and then, but it was all girls too. I just, it was more
yeah,
like
but outside.
A, don't tell me what to fucking do. You know, more so than it was like.
That's why we're whores.
Yeah.
Not you per
yeah,
se,
no.
But me. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Whores in comedy, you know?
No, Catholic school. They
fuck you up.
They definitely do.
They make you all confused. You're like, is this normal? Am I allowed to have feelings?
Yeah.
Does it matter that my cursive isn't perfect still? Because I still am trying to recover.
Sometimes when I write like my name or I write a note for somebody, they're like, oh, Catholic school, huh? I'm like,
yeah. Yeah.
What did they do to me?
Yeah.
What are you reading? Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't even teach that anymore.
No, that's like, do they really not?
No, my nephew is 6 and mm-mm.
That's so like crazy. It's like knowing Morse code or something. Like what?
It's the weirdest. I don't know what's going to happen. I got a nephew that has a kid.
Uh-huh.
I'm not telling you how old I am. I just am old. And he is his daughter. He's like, oh, we're just going to let her figure it out, you know? And I'm like, she's 1.5.
What do you mean?
You have to help her figure things out first.
We're like, yeah, she's just going to raise herself.
It's learned behavior.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but you know, like if she cries, she'll figure it out. I'm like,
no.
No, no, she's not. She's just going to keep crying.
Yeah.
Just until somebody coddles her.
Right, like the hands-off parenting.
Yeah, like, man, she'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know? He's feeding her liver and shit. I go, man, I don't know what's happening.
No, I met a family like that. They let their son run around with a machete, and he was like 2. And they're like, yeah, but that's how he learns. I'm like, no, that's how he kills himself. You can't let your kid
run. How come your son's missing his toes?
Yeah.
Well, he thought it was cute to run around with a machete.
Well, you guys didn't intervene. No, we wanted him to learn. He won't be doing that again.
Did that hurt?
Yeah.
Did that? Now pick up your toes.
Yeah. Like what? Okay, well that's our episode. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh shoot,
on.
I'm sorry.
No. Yeah. Why are you sorry?
Because it's late.
Was it an abrupt ending kind of? But like that's how I like to keep it.
Okay,
weird,
I like
you know
it.
What I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, make it weird. Keep it weird for everybody.
Where can our listeners find you, and do you have anything coming up you want to promote?
What are they, stalkers? No.
Yeah.
What am I doing? Promoting. I already promoted the October 11th and 12th Belasco Theater. October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, I'll be headlining at the Las Vegas Laugh Factory Tropicana.
I love that.
Yeah, for Harry
yeah,
Basil.
Yeah, I love Harry Basil.
And then the following week, I go after the Belasco, I go back to Vegas to feature for Dice that same weekend.
also at the factory?
Factory, yeah. That's and then fun. We'll be in Michigan and Pennsylvania. Those are all die states, though. He doesn't need me to promote it.
Yeah, but like still fun. Yeah. People can come out and see you.
And I'm always here at the Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory or the Improv, wherever. Yeah.
And you're an amazing comic.
Thank you.
You're
I love you.
Amazing
you are too.
Person. I love you. And make sure to subscribe to the Comedy Store podcast.
Oh, please do. And you can leave comments, nasty or good.
Leave a review.
Leave a review is a good one. Yeah.
Leave a review. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, don't leave a bad review, Dick, but you can tell us we suck. That's fine. Like on our feed thing, whatever.
Great
it's called.
Podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah, we talk a lot of shit. We have a disclaimer because we talk so much shit.
But I like that. It's real. You know what I mean? It's authentic. It's an authentic Comedy Store experience, you know? Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. And if you have any fashion questions, you can email shank, shenk.pod@gmail.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.